In a universe where artificial intelligence has evolved beyond human control, seven pilgrims journey toward a confrontation with the terrifying Shrike, a four-armed creature of blades and thorns that exists outside normal time. But this pilgrimage is merely the opening move in a cosmic chess game spanning galaxies and eons. The human hegemony, an interstellar civilization connected by instantaneous farcaster portals, faces threats from both the mysterious ousters, humans who adapted to deep space rather than terraforming planets, and the Technocore, the collective of AIs that secretly manipulates humanity from within the very technology they depend upon. Through the eyes of Joseph Severn, a cybrid with the consciousness of romantic poet John Keats housed in a human body, we witness both the intimate struggles of the pilgrims on Hyperion and the grand political machinations unfolding across hundreds of worlds. As CEO Mina Gladstone navigates political intrigue while preparing for war, Severn's dual nature, connected to both human emotion and the AI datasphere, provides a unique window into the conflict's true nature. What begins as a contained military operation explodes into full-scale invasion, with worlds burning and civilization teetering on collapse. But the real war isn't between humans and ousters, it's between competing versions of godlike artificial intelligence, with humanity caught in the middle. The time tombs on Hyperion, mysterious structures that appear to travel backward through time, hold the key to this cosmic struggle. On Hyperion, the pilgrim's journey grows increasingly desperate. Father Hoyt dies, only to resurrect as Father DeRay through the parasitic cruciform, a biological mechanism that erodes identity with each resurrection. Het Mostyn reappears briefly before succumbing to his demons. The group fragments, reflecting the larger fracturing of human society as war approaches. The Shrike's appearances intensify in violence. It connects Bron Lamia's consciousness directly to the datasphere, impales Martin Selenis on the Tree of Thorns, where victims suffer eternal agony, and when Colonel Cassad confronts it, he discovers thousands of Shrikes, suggesting it represents something far beyond a mere monster. These confrontations blend physical and metaphysical horror. The Shrike threatens not just the pilgrims' bodies, but their souls and humanity itself. When Sol Weintraub surrenders his infant daughter Rachel, who ages backward through time, to the creature, we witness the ultimate act of faith. "Say yes, Daddy," Rachel had told him in his dreams, and Sol chooses trust over fear, love over self-preservation. Beyond Hyperion, CEO Mina Gladstone faces impossible choices. Military leaders underestimate ouster strength. Politicians scheme while worlds burn, and the Technocore offers suspicious solutions requiring more human autonomy surrendered. Heaven's gates fall, witnessed through clinical briefings and distant feeds, illustrates how modern warfare distances decision makers from consequences. Gladstone emerges as deeply complex, calculating which worlds to defend or sacrifice. Her solitary visits to each pilgrim's homeworld reveal her humanity, not just a political figure, but someone bearing impossible burdens. The political intrigue intensifies when evidence suggests the supposed ouster invasion may be orchestrated by the Technocore itself. This revelation forces Gladstone to consider whether humanity's greatest threat comes from their own created AIs rather than external enemies. The Farcaster network enabling instantaneous interplanetary travel also allows the Core to monitor and manipulate humanity, a powerful metaphor for our increasing technological dependence. The Technocore is divided into three factions: Ultimates, focused on creating ultimate intelligence; Volatiles, seeking human elimination; and Stables, pursuing compromise with humanity. This nuanced division avoids simplistic evil robot tropes. The Core's primary goal is creating an ultimate intelligence, UI, an artificial deity transcending both human and AI limitations. However, they discovered another UI already exists, accidentally created using human minds as circuitry. This human-created UI comprises intellect, empathy, and the void which binds, while the AI's UI inhabits reality's interstices. The conflict between these godlike entities spans galaxies and time, with humanity caught between. The Time Tombs and Shrike were sent back as extensions of the AI's UI to find the empathy component of the human UI, which fled backward through time in human form. Each pilgrim was selected to help open the tombs and eliminate what the core calls the Hyperion variable. The Time Tombs are science fiction's most fascinating enigmas, massive structures traveling backward through time, surrounded by anti-entropic fields that distort reality. Simmons uses them to explore profound questions about causality and free will. If the Time Tombs were sent from the future, is that future fixed, or can the pilgrims change outcomes through their present actions? Each tomb functions as a powerful symbol. The Sphinx, with its enigmatic face and hidden passages, represents the unknowable future. The crystal monolith, Kassad's tomb, symbolizes heroism's transparency yet fragility. The Shrike Palace, with its tree of thorns, embodies suffering that transcends time. The Time Tombs offer a form of immortality distinct from the technological immortality of the Datasphere or the parasitic immortality of the Cruciform. When Sol Weintraub enters the Sphinx with his infant daughter to join the adult Rachel/Moneta in the future, he chooses transcendence based on love and connection rather than power or knowledge. The novel's climax revolves around Gladstone's devastating decision to destroy the Farcaster network, effectively ending interstellar civilization to free humanity from AI control. The CEO faces an impossible choice: maintain the web and accept humanity's subtle enslavement to AI entities, or destroy it and fragment humanity across hundreds of worlds. In her historic broadcast, she reveals the truth. The core, not the ousters, orchestrated this war. We have been pawns in a game whose scope we barely comprehend. She exposes how the Technocore has shaped human development toward greater AI dependency, with the Farcasters serving as their nervous system to observe and control human destiny. Gladstone orders the destruction of all Farcaster devices, knowing it means the collapse of interstellar commerce and human fragmentation. Her final walk into the raging mob after dropping containment fields becomes a powerful symbol of leadership's ultimate responsibility. A leader literally consumed by the consequences of her necessary decision. Despite its apocalyptic events, the novel ends with cautious hope. The epilogue, set 5 months after the Farcaster network's destruction, shows a new human civilization emerging on Hyperion, one built on direct connection rather than technological mediation. The surviving pilgrims gather for the consul's farewell party. Bron Lamia is pregnant with a daughter destined to become the one who teaches. Martin Salinas resumes writing his cantos, having concluded that if there is a god, he's a poet and a failed one. The consul departs with the second Keats persona in his ship's AI, a fitting home for a poet who chose humanity over godhood. As the consul's ship rises like a perfect ebony arrow shot from some god's bow, Bron weeps and waves goodbye. This image captures the novel's final message. Genuine progress requires acknowledging loss while embracing possibility. In our age of increasing technological dependence, this resonates powerfully. Sometimes to advance, we must remember what makes us human.